The thoughts, opinions, and ideas expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals participating in the conversation and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints or official stance of Leap Africa. The organization supports diverse perspectives and encourages critical thinking and open dialogue. Hi everyone, good day and welcome to today's episode of the Youthful and Useful podcast by Leap Africa. My name is Gbemileke Anthony and I'm a communications intern at Leap Africa. And today with me I have...
Ferdinand, e-learning lead at Leap Africa.
Right. So today we're going to be talking about a really exciting topic. We're going to be talking about how we can build the career of our dreams. I don't know about Ferdinand, but, you know, right now I'm a communications intern. But before I got here, I think it was quite an interesting journey. So I'd just like to know, as a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Okay, so let me just give like some background to this. So I come from a family of artists. Mm. When I say artists, not music. I mean, like... normal art, painting and like. So it has always been about, you know, doing something in the art industry. So my dad, my dad's an animator, director, filming, went to film school and stuff. My mom's a fashion designer.
Okay.
So it has always been about, you know, just going into the art industry, doing something. Personally, I would have loved to be an archaeologist. Personally,
okay,
I would have loved to be an archaeologist because I got involved in watching a lot of animal, you know, documentaries and stuff. Grew up with that, but along the line, so my senior brother is an auto designer, designs cars, and stuff, and my sister designs clothes, fashion and stuff like that. So at some point I was going to study architecture in Nigeria here, but the issue I had was that you know, Nigeria is filled with rules, you know, we are not very flexible. So I didn't have the opportunity to be flexible on the architecture. Architecture has a lot of rules. If you did TD in high school, you know,
I failed that one, but yeah, okay, yeah,
measurements and stuff. But I found out that I enjoyed being just free. So I started branching into animation. You know, animation has a lot of, you know, free will, do whatever you like, you know, how the characters come out, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I don't like using myself as an example. So when people ever ask me, oh, what did you study in school and what am I doing now? I didn't branch off. So I've been doing art, and till this day I'm more advanced, you know, in art, technology, graphics, animation, and, you know, yeah, that's basically it.
Wow, I think you're one of the very few people who actually ended up doing what they wanted to do. Because, like, for me, that's not my story. As, like, the typical Nigerian child who, you know, if you are remotely intelligent, everyone expects that you're a science student and eventually you become a doctor because, you know, God forbid you decide to be in art class, which is like supposed to be for the people who are not smart. So I wanted to be a doctor, but somewhere along the line I developed a fear of blood, and I was like, what? You mean somebody's life will be in my hands? I can't do that. And so I remember having a conversation with my older brother, just trying to fill the jam form, you know, where you have to do your first choice, your second choice and stuff. And he was like, oh, what do you want to study? And I was like, oh, I want to be an environmentalist. And he looked at me like, okay.
In Nigeria.
Yes, exactly. And then my mom had it in mind that we'd only go to one school, which was in the town that we're in. And that school didn't have a course in environmental science. And he said, oh, so you have to do geography. And when, if you study geography, the only thing you can possibly be is a teacher. And I was like, nope, I'll pass. And so it was like, hey, this computer science thing is big these days. It's like, you know, this is what is in vogue. I was like, where you put it? And boom, that's how I got into the university to study computer science. And honestly, I think it took me, you know, by second, by 200 level, I knew that, you know what, it's not for me. I contemplated dropping out, but I'm like, yeah, that only happens in American movies. We don't do that here in Nigeria. So I did my 5 years. And when I came out, I was like, nope, definitely not working with this thing. So, I didn't become a doctor. Neither did I become like a hardcore programmer. Look at me doing communication. So, yeah, that's what it is. It has been for me. So, apart from like what you learned in the university, have you been able to upskill? Because we live in a very fast-paced world. So before you say Jack, there's like something new. And you know, the recent buzz these days is AI. And you're like, I just finished learning about this other one the other day. So how do you keep up with the times, the trends? How do you stay up to date?
Okay, so personally, for me, I think it was nurtured into me because... like I said, my dad is in that industry, the arts industry, entertainment and stuff. And we always watched him, you know, upskill himself. You know, he was, you know, designing, he was doing animation, he was getting the latest gadgets. If anyone knows about the Apple G5, Apple G5 was used for, you know, top graphic, you know, outputs. When it comes to, you know, production and stuff, I can remember even the Apple Final Cut, you know, stuff like that. He was always updating. So naturally, myself and my siblings, we were always like that. So even when I got into university, I might get crucified for this anyways, but I won't say my lecturers were there. You know, so they helped, and at the same time they didn't help. So they helped in with the aspect of, you know, they won't teach you everything. So they helped in that aspect that, you know, brought me that that reality to say, okay, you know, if I want to go beyond what I'm doing now, I have to deliberately teach myself new things. So even as far as going for my IT, when I did my IT in Lagos, and I had to learn how to do character design, animation, and stuff like that. And that was from YouTube. I was learning that from YouTube. I didn't have anybody hands-on teaching me, okay, how to do this and all that. You know, I already had the background of, you know, fiddling with, you know, computers and, you know, softwares. I remember as far as designing something on Paint, far back as many years ago. And it was interesting how I just kept on increasing myself. And so it didn't just end there for me. So just looking at my background, you know, from graphics to animation, I got into the advertising agency. You know, I was an art director, assistant art director then. I worked with Sonny Rabo many years ago. And how I even stumbled on e-learning. I just got a call for my junior brother. So my junior brother used to do illustrations for Workforce. And he was like, oh, there's an opening in Workforce, oh, they need an illustrator. I do illustrations too. So, and he talked about e-learning. I was like, what's e-learning? You know, I was fascinated. I wanted to know what was. I was curious about it. And when I got into, you know, Workforce, did the interview, then I read more about e-learning. I was like, oh, this is a game changer. It changes everything. This is new and all that. So then it was not even trending. I mean, Nigerians didn't even really know about it. I mean, a lot of world organizations were already doing that already. So I found out how I had to keep on reading more about it. And I remember they challenged me when I joined Workforce, and they were like, oh, to learn e-learning, learn the software Articulate. So Articulate is Articulate 360 is a software you use for to design interactive e-learning courses. And I remember they challenged me and said, oh, it's going to take me 3 months to learn this thing and all that. But I mean, me, you can't put something in front of me and I won't go for it. So it took me like 3 weeks to learn that. Then, you know, I was now looking for more innovative ways, you know, taking them away from what they even knew already, saying, oh, we can do, you know, you can actually use the software to do this. They're like, oh, how did you know you can do that? I was like, oh, I had to go online and learn more. And, you know, that also brought me to learning about coding, because we needed coding at some point, you know, to develop some of these courses, to get some kind of effect on courses. So I had to now start learning JavaScript. And, you know, it was just, like I said, it was just natural for me. I was just naturally doing that. That pushed me into now learning about LMS, so learning management system. That's how I got found out about that. You know, I had to start writing, start doing research that I didn't know how to do before. I started researching. So it was just natural for me. And it doesn't happen like that for everyone. It doesn't happen like that for everyone. I mean, even just when you were speaking about, you know, when you found out that, okay, this computer science wasn't for you, I was going to even ask you, you know, did you make that decision off the fact that maybe someone in your family or someone had to mention something like, oh, why are you reading computer science? Because, I mean, computer science back many years ago didn't get the attention it has now. I had family members when I was in school, and I was, oh, I'm reading visual art and technology, like, you're not going to go anywhere with this. Like, I met several times, I had one of my uncles that was like, he was ready to pay for me to do a change of course, you know, go and read something. I said, yeah, go and read engineering, you're good at these things and all that. And I was like, no, I'm not switching, you know, I'm not switching. I knew a lot of people who switched when we got to year two, some people switched to mass comm and stuff like that. But in my case, it was just because of the way I was brought up, you know, having to keep on learning about these things. But not everybody gets the opportunity to do this. And that's why even what we're doing now, we're trying to make people, you know, see these things earlier, start this before they even go into their career path, you know. I'm an advocate for people to, you know, start a career before even doing their masters. I'm an advocate for that, because I always feel that when you start your career, you'll be able to, it gives you a direction of what kind of masters, what do you want to do in master or MBA or something. It gives you a direction, and, you know, it helps even your learning, you know, where you need to learn. And because, I mean, when you imagine doing your masters, then you now stumble on what you really love, and your masters doesn't even count for what you really love now. So I won't say it's a waste, but I mean, that's what I just think. Yeah,
that's really interesting, you know, growing up in an environment where upskilling was just the norm. And I'm pretty sure even though now we call it upskilling, you probably didn't have, you know, the word for that then. For me though, I already started, like, I had like 1 year after school where I worked in sales. And I mean, again, it took me 1 year to know that, oh, I didn't want to work in sales. That what I really wanted to do was something related to media and communications, because honestly, that was my passion. But then I was torn in secondary school and even right in the university, because I was really good at the art subjects, but then I was also really good at the science subjects. So after, you know, doing the sales job, my degree in computer science, I felt like I had paid my dues, and I was like, I really want to do something that I love. And so I got into a training school for a bank, and they were like, oh, all of you are going to sales. And in my head, I was like, never, not again. Affliction will not arise the second time. I'm not going. And so I thought to myself, how do I make myself stand out? Because I was with people who had, like, registered with ICA and ACA, and I was just like, what are you people talking about? I have no clue. And so I'm one thing that I do is that I'm a schemer. So I think to myself, this is where I want to go, and I'm like, I scheme, I literally sit down and plot how to get there. And so I was like, I don't have ACA, I don't have ICA, all these things people are talking, I have no clue. So what can I do? I knew that just naturally I was really good. I was good with like media and communication. So I went online to Coursera. And then I took a course in, I think, business branding and alignment or something. And for those who don't know, Coursera gives out like, you can apply for financial aid. And then I took the course for free. And when they were like, oh, choose the departments that you want to go to, because they actually did say that even though they eventually still dumped 80% of us in sales, I chose corporate communications, and then I chose innovation, and then they were like, what's your certification? I was like, I don't know if this counts as a certification, shall. And then I put, you know, that course I took on Coursera, and I backed it up with like a proposal to the head of the training school to say, this is what I think you can improve on, relating to the brand of the company. So that was just like a long shot. So after training school, we went home. We had like 2 weeks before we were going to resume. And when I got my offer letter, I saw that I got into corporate communications, and I was like so happy, because that meant that I would work in the headquarters, you know, and I was like a cool kid, you know, when others are in the branch struggling for, you know, their targets. And so for me, e-learning is a game changer, because what are the odds of me going back to school to tell my mother, I say, you see that computer science degree, where? It's good, sha, but I want another one. What are the odds of me going back to say, okay, maybe I want to do mass comm? I couldn't do that, right? But taking a course, honestly, I think I took that course for like a month or two. That was all that I needed to make the switch from computer science and the sales thing that I hated to communications, media and communications, which is what I really loved. And so it's such a powerful tool, because unlike our parents who, you know, if you went to school to be a doctor, you had to be a doctor, we have the choice to make to say, you know what, I studied engineering, but you know what, I want to be a graphic designer. And you can do that without going to spend another 4, 5, or God knows how many years in school. It is cheaper, it is more accessible. And sometimes I tell people that sometimes taking a course may not even take you on a change of your of careers, but sometimes all that is validation to say, actually I don't really like this. Because I remember a time when I took a course in product design, I was good at it, but then I realized that I didn't like it. So it can be many different things. It can be what you need to make the career switch. It can be what you need to say, yeah, just because I have a slight interest in something doesn't mean I should, you know, upend my entire career and, you know, change into something very different. So how much do you think e-learning can do for young people today? What power do you think it holds for them?
I would just say it straight up. It can do a lot. Mm. We live in a world where it's getting to a point where even you start to question if you need to even go to university.
Mm.
You know, and let me just put it clearly. I speak to a couple of people and they tell me that, to everything that someone learns in the university walls, he can just sit down in his room and hop on Coursera or whatever. I mean, the biggest e-learning platform is YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
and it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, YouTube is coming up with a new platform that tailors to just e-learning alone. I know a lot of people who have learned how to cook from YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, stuff like that. So e-learning will play a very big part, you know, especially with this new generation coming. Although there are some worries, so personally my worries, because I've been in this industry for a long time now, I've been in e-learning for almost 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the key things that keep coming when it comes to e-learning is how people want to learn. Mm. Initially, we assumed, we gave them a template of this is how you should learn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting to a point where, you know, the completion rates with regards, you know, how people are finishing courses, just like you said, now you took a course for almost 2 months. And if you look at it generally, or if you look at that course you took,
mm-hmm.
the person who designed that course might have designed it in a way that, you just need like 3 days to finish it. Yeah, you just need like 3 days to randomly finish that thing. Like an average person should finish within 3 days. But in a world where we went into COVID, you know, COVID like took a chunk of that time, that part of that your lifespan that you would have used to even, you know, distributed it around for all your e-learning courses, you've used it in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So people get tired. I mean, I know people that when they see webinars, they just be like, no, not an hour webinar again
and stuff.
But it doesn't remove the fact that there's a generation that is coming up and, you know, they are full on, you know, digital devices, you know, being connected to the internet, learning every day. And a lot of these kids coming up are learning different from the way we are mm-hmm. learning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be full on writing materials or, you know, very full on education, it's very direct and all that. I mean, I was with my nephew some weeks back and he was watching Paw Patrol. A lot of people know Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol is an animation like that on Cartoon Network or one of them. And they were teaching about, you know, traffic signs
mm-hmm.
and stuff. But it was just animated, you know, mm-hmm. fun adventure. They're hopping from one place to another and all that. But I, because I'm an adult, I could literally pick out all the lesson points these guys were dropping. But for my nephew, it was just like fun. But he's learning. Mm-hmm. He's actually learning. You know, he's taking a cue from that. You know, he's reacting what he's seeing.
Mm.
But me, I was like, oh, these guys are very deliberate. Mm. Actually talking about how, you know, he must not do this, he mustn't do this and stuff. So I think that e-learning is very, very important for the next generation to come. And it's just that we as the e-learning professionals, we need to be very deliberate about how we are even, you know, dishing out this content to these new generations coming. We do, like I always say, don't always assume because you saw a product, oh, this product looks so good, this e-learning course looks so nice, it's flashy and all that. It can be flashy and have all that whole thing, but it might not do the work that you expect it to do.
Mm.
So maybe this is even just a call out to, you know, e-learning professionals to say, it works, it literally works, but we just have to be very deliberate of how we make it work and how we don't allow it have more disadvantage than advantage. We keep talking about, many years ago we were talking about the digital divide. Oh, digital divide, people are not inclusive, people don't have access to the internet and stuff. That gap has really shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the problem is we now have a lot of people that have access to the internet, have access to digital devices, but how are they even using these devices? Another part of digital divide is saying, oh, we don't have good enough content creators. I mean, I used to tell people that Twitter is a very toxic, personal opinion, very toxic app.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not careful
mm-hmm.
on the algorithm and how the algorithm works for you, because it's based on what you like. I mean, generally on every app, maybe minus WhatsApp, but every other app that has direct contact to, you know, content mm-hmm. online, based on what you like or who you follow, it gives you that content. So you can have a guy sitting down, I'm going to mention names, I mean I don't really know everybody in the world, but have a guy in Lagos here just, you know, scrolling through his Twitter and kind of things he follows, he will never see any good reading material if he keeps following some kind of content.
Mm-hmm.
So he will never see anything that, you know, gives him that nudge to say, oh, gotta learn about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean we see it a lot. You see so people post stuffs, some people don't even go through the entire, you know, post to see what they need to learn or what they need to read about this thing. You just see them commenting, they've not even done the research, they just all out there saying, oh, we knew what this person was, and I'm like, did you even finish reading what was posted? You know, and we don't, most of our content, you know, creators today don't give that nudge, you know, because I mean social media platforms also are e-learning mm-hmm. tools. They are mm-hmm. also e-learning tools. Simple carousels, you know, teach you a lot of things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So e-learning is all around us. Even as I even tell people as far back as saying, oh, Lagos traffic has this, like, oh, do you know that you can, the billboards we have, the digital billboards we have in Lagos, we can actually use them as e-learning tools to teach people stuff, doing the job news, very elaborate, like, it should be flashing in your face, you know, instead of, I can't fault people for their businesses or whatever they want to post and all that, but, you know, it's a good way to build change in the community because people will have access to this. There are times where people in rural areas, how are they learning about certain things? You have these guys who used to sell movies in CDs and, you know, they put the speaker and a TV is on and they're just playing maybe Jackie Chan or something, or wrestling. Most of the times, we're always wrestling and all that. And you see all these kids, they learn from that. All those things are e-learning. There are ways e-learning can actually, you know, promote education and all that. But the content they are consuming, you know, steers them in the direction they need to go. I mean, I frown on, you know, most of these guys, Yahoo boys, you know, these days, they're so bold. They post whatever they are doing online. You know, they're encouraging the wrong set of people and stuff. So another side of digital divide is also making sure that we cop how the content creators, kind of things that are being, you know, thrown out there. I mean, you can't save everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't save everyone, but personally I believe that e-learning works.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of advantages and it has a lot of disadvantages.
Mm.
But we have the responsibility to know how to use it, you know, how to make use of it, how to make sure that it works well for us in our own community.
Mm.
Yeah,
so thank you so much. I've never thought, when I think about e-learning, I'll be honest to say that I think about courses. So me going on some, you know, website or web portal to go and learn something. But I mean, it's a good point that you're making, that we are learning with just being on Instagram, being on Twitter, and even billboards, we are learning every day. So we're very immersed in our world and we are immersed into learning every single day. So it's a good call to e-learning practitioners, but then to everyone as well, to see how to curate the right learning on different platforms. So whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram, whichever app that you choose to focus on, to take it outside the courses. Because I think one thing that happens where why people question, you know, going to the university today is like, oh, it's very restrictive, right? But the thing is, a lot of times we become what we criticize, because
true.
You get to a point where you feel like so settled and you're like, we've definitely hacked this thing, and become comfortable and complacent, and so you fall into the same trap that your predecessor was, you know, fell into. So it can be the same thing, because I mean, I'll be honest with you that sometimes I take some courses and then I'm just like I was joking with someone that upskilling as an adult can be extremely boring, because they try to make courses for children immersive and exciting, but then they try to make courses for adults the most boring things ever. And so as the course I'm taking, I'm every time I play and I'm like doing a module, I'm like, I cannot wait for it to end, because I'm like, you cannot tell me that this is the only way you could have thought to deliver this. Like, you could have made it more engaging, right? Because I feel like right now I'm not necessarily learning. I'm just like playing through so that I can be done. I take the certification exam and move on. And I'm just like, so when it gets to the time for me to actually use this thing, I will now go back and refer to it, or maybe go online and look for templates or something. But yeah, we do need to, across all ages, from, you know, kids to adults, do proper research into what works, and to explore channels, right? Explore different ways of, you know, creating content for e-learning, and be more deliberate about it. Because I feel like some people are doing it, but they don't recognize the power in what they do. So that's e-learning has, you know, a really, really great potential, particularly in Africa. Especially in Nigeria, when you have a lot of youth. So I think for me, I'm keen to see how, you know, it explodes and hopefully is able to change the lives of many, many, many young people, and how it helps them build the career of their dreams. Because I'm a firm believer that work doesn't just have to be what you do to put food on the table. It can be something that you enjoy. So e-learning, taking online courses has helped me, is helping me build the career of my dreams, because I don't think I'm there yet. But then I'm also getting a master's degree, which is ironic. So I like both modes of learning.
Just out of curiosity, yeah. So as you were speaking about, you know, the course you're taking, mm-hmm. and how it can be boring, so it's for me as a professional, when it comes to e-learning, it's been nice to know how do you like to learn. So what kind of style of learning do you think you would enjoy?
Well, I don't think I like a telling style of learning.
Okay.
This is a dog. A dog barks. No. I will not remember. Wow. It's very forgettable. For me, learning, a lot of times has to be memorable. For instance, in school, I was taking a course in interactive media for societal change. And my professor literally came to the class and he was like, oh, I hope you guys, it was like, oh, you guys should bring your yoga mats. And the first, I think, 30 minutes or 1 hour of that class was meditation.
Okay.
So you do meditation, you do breathing exercises. And then we would have, like, you know, readings to do and stuff, and then we'd chat, and then he'd take some time to, you know, show us a few things. But I remember practically everything in that class. He could have come and just gone straight to the board and says, you know how you say, define interactive media. Then you now say, interactive media is.
Yeah.
I cannot define interactive media. But if you ask me to do the work, I can do it, because he made sure to say several times, I'm not just here for your grades, right? I know that with every platform comes some certain level, some certain limitations, but I'm just saying, why do we have to go with the status quo? Why does it have to be, because I'm an adult, all I see is somebody, a recorded video of someone saying something, and that's the only way that I can learn? There has to be more immersive ways of doing this, right? We talk about VR, there's AR, you know, mixed reality. How do we make learning more immersive, even for adults? I even think maybe even more immersive for adults, because children have no care in the world. You just wake up in the morning and then they cry, and then there's food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have absolutely, they're paying no bills. They're not talking about the queuing for petrol. But as an adult, you are fighting many things. You are fighting, oh yes, I want to upskill. Oh yes, maybe there's a deadline from work that I missed. Oh, maybe someone has kids. Oh, I have to take care of my parents. There's so many things in your head. And as far as I'm concerned, that is even a case for even better e-learning models for adults, because there's just so much to do, right? So, you know, that's what me, as a layman, I would say, like, you know, I think you e-learning professionals have a lot to do.
So I agree with you. So it's like my mentor would say, it's a wicked problem. So his name is Balo. He's always saying it's a wicked problem. And why I'm saying it's a wicked problem, because some months back, I attended like a learning and development conference. And so one of the key things that kept coming up, and I even spoke there, was to say, we have to be very deliberate about learning styles. And why is it difficult? Why I'm saying it's difficult is because, so let me just give an example. When you're talking about, you know, developing courses for adults, the stereotype is that adults don't have time. They want to sit down. They just want to read through and all what's not. You know, just simple text on screen, picture coming, move. I don't really want to do much because I have a lot, you know, going on. And it's wrong. That notion is wrong. Because, so for instance, if you have a course maybe a very high level course, a business management course that is for like a high level, you know, position. And, you know, the stereotype is people who take that course, you know, over the years, what the data is showing, over the years, people from their late 40s, you know, mid 40s, late 40s, early 50s are the ones who take this kind of course, you know, top CEOs and blah, blah, blah. But you now have that one guy or that one lady who had a very fast career growth and has the competency to be in the same room with these same guys. And because you've already stereotyped that is this kind of people that are always in this kind of room, they would like to read, you now bring that kind of course to a guy who still in his youth just had a very fast career, you know, intelligent, smart, or a lady who is smart, you know, got to that level quick, you now give them that same reading material. I personally, I'll not even, you know, you lose them at that point. You know, there is no enough needs assessment. They didn't do enough needs assessment to say, okay, there are sometimes we'll have people like this. How do we cater for this kind of young guys? When I talk about history, I learned a lot of history from playing games. You know, I play a lot of games, you know, from the times of Famicom, Nintendo, you know,
Sega.
Game Boy, Sega, PS1, PS2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, playing those games gave me, you know, an idea of what, so like for instance, Pearl Harbor, I played a game called Pearl Harbor, and, you know, I learned about the World War during that period. That period also changed my perception about Adolf Hitler. I know many people don't like him, but that's another discussion for another day. But I learned, you know, from playing games. I learned about the Greek mythology from playing games like God of War. You know, you learn about sports men from playing games like FIFA. You know, you get to know their height, you know, how fast these guys are. Oh, they actually measured all these things and stuff. So that's my own kind of learning style. We check my Netflix account, it's filled with documentaries. I love movies that do a lot of social experiments. I was not a very good person at maths growing up. I didn't like numbers. Till now, I don't really like numbers. But I believe that if they had found a very creative way to, you know, put that whole complex maths, into, you know, a very nice interactive video, very adventure-like style, I think I would have been like a math guru by now. Because, I mean, I watch animations too, and Japanese animations, and I'm a Nigerian, but I know more Japanese than even where I'm from. I'm from Delta State in Nigeria here, Isoko South, but I know more Japanese than even my own language, or even Yoruba, or even Igbo, even outside. I learned Igbo and Yoruba in school also. But it's all because of the way they deliver their content. They made their content very interactive. They give you that curiosity. It brings you close. So I learned it faster that way. You know, speaking their kind of language. The time I knew that it had just gotten to me here was, I was watching one animation and they didn't have subtitles. And I was understanding what they were saying. I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I actually knew what this guy was saying. I watched the entire movie. It was a 1-hour animation. And I watched it without the subtitles because I didn't want anybody to come and spoil it for me. I didn't want spoilers. So I had to go and watch it. So we have to be very deliberate on how people want to learn. Even for someone who used to read before, I mean, we are subject to change. We're not cast in stone. We get to a point where we're like, as we're getting older. So, for instance, oh, you liked loud music as a youth. You're getting older, you just want to hear something, just one tiny thing in the background. That also, that same, you know, scenario plays in how you also learn too. You might be the one that likes to read all the time. Then all of a sudden, you're like, video is better. For now, there's a lot of audiobooks are now going, skyrocketing, you know. You see people like Spotify now just dumping podcasts. I mean, people just want to listen to podcasts, just want to have that in the background. But for podcasts, you have that so much, you know, attention it's having now and stuff. So I think us for e-learning, professionals, we need to, especially in Africa, we need to be very deliberate. We need to be inclusive. That's the word now.
Yeah,
inclusive.
Yeah, be inclusive and I think more accessible. I think we're getting to a point just generally with education and with many other things that there's where we see that there's no one size fits all approach to things, where we have to redefine what our metrics for success is or are, and so we can't just keep, you know, the era of garbage in, garbage out is one that is gone. But I think it will take a lot of work and dedication, you know, to seeing education. I think the more you have people who are actually passionate about education and not just doing stuff related to education because they didn't see anything else to do, I think the better it will become. But I think we're already on the right path. I mean, we're here. I'm talking to you, who is a professional, and you have, you know, been able to capture the trends in the industry. So I think for me, my hope is that the growth is, you know, accelerated, and, you know, more people are open to maybe even breaking convention, so that again, we're able to reach more people and we're able to create content that allows people to actually learn, which is something that, you know, doesn't seem to be happening that much, you know, generally in Nigeria, because when people really learn and they're not just trying to get a certificate and move on, it's more than the course. It's more than, you know, that moment. It's something that they take with them for life. So, we have had quite a chat. I've learned so much. I honestly didn't know that much about e-learning, because I'm just like, all you need is a camera and somebody talking over something, and that's all it takes to make courses. But, you know, it's really interesting for me learning the work and the thought process and the skill that actually goes into creating these learning materials. So thank you so much, Ferdinand, for blessing us with your knowledge. Definitely hope we can do this some other time.
Oh, definitely. I'm always available to dash and throw out my knowledge.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening on today's episode of the Youthful and Useful podcast. We hope that you've learned as much as we have about e-learning from our in-house expert here, Ferdinand. Until we come your way next time, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.